Okay, today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Chav. Hey, we left off in daf Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Beis. We are holding about 12 lines before the end of the page or so at Tani Chad, the last words on the line. Today, the majority of Kuf Chav Hey Amud Aleph today is going to discuss three ways to understand the certain machlokas between Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda, but the first of which relates to our Mishnah. Remember yesterday we had a machlokas in the Mishnah. What happens if you have broken pieces of kelim? Are they necessarily muktza? So the Mishnah says, well, if they're still functional, they're not going to be muktza. But the question is, how functional do they have to be? Do they have to be still similar? Do they have to still be able to be used for something similar to what they used to be used for? Or is it good enough that they have some sort of malacha that you could do with them? Is it good enough that it's osin me'ein malacha, or does it have to be osin me'ein milachtan, that they have to do something similar to what they used to do? So the majority of Amud Aleph is going to discuss a certain machlokas. The first way of understanding that machlokas is going to be relating it back to our Mishnah. Then we're going to have a Mishnah that gives examples of muksa items that, when attached to non-muksa items, become part of the kli and can lose their muksa status. The Gemara is then going to quote a machlokas amoraim, whether be'inon meiso or not. If a muksa item needs a significant act to be performed on it in order for it to be changed into a kli and therefore no longer muktza for Shabbos. And then we discuss if a vine has to be tied to a pitcher in order for it to lose its muktza status, or if it's enough that it could be connected maybe in some lesser way. And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to discuss whether a person can add to a temporary structure on Shabbos and Yantif. Probably not going to get up to that today anyway, but let's get started. So Tani Chada, Masikin b'kelim vein Masikin b'shivri kelim. You're allowed to use kelim as firewood, but not broken kelim. You're not allowed to use as firewood. Obviously, this is Yantif. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to be masik anything. It's a malach of Havara. But on Yantif, you're allowed to make fires in order to cook for Ochel Nefesh and Mitok Shvotru L'Tzorach Ochel Nefesh. Since you're allowed to do it for Ochel Nefesh, you're allowed to do it for non-Ochel Nefesh as well. But the point is that kelim are not mukta, and therefore you're allowed to be metalta, you're allowed to handle them, and you could put them into a fire. But shivrei kelim, broken kelim, are considered to be mukta, so you're not allowed to use them as firewood. V'tanya idach, but then we have a second brisa that tells us, kishem shemasikim b'kelim, kach masikim b'shivrei kelim. Just like you're allowed to use kelim as firewood on Yantif, you're also allowed to use broken kelim as firewood on Yantif. V'tanya idach, and then we have a third brisa that tells us, ein masikim lo b'kelim, v'lo b'shivrei kelim, that you're not allowed to use as firewood, not kelim, and also not shivrei kelim. So it's a three-way stira between the brises. Answers the Gemara, it's not a stira, it's a machlokas. Har Rabbi Yehuda, Har Rabbi Shimon, Har Rabbi Nechemya. That these three brises align with three shitos in Tanaim. Rabbi Yehuda holds you could be masik bekelim, you could use kelim as firewood, but not broken kelim, because Rabbi Yehuda holds kelim are obviously not muktza. Broken kelim are nolad, there's something that just came, if it's a kli that broke on Yantif, so it's nolad, it just came into the world on Yantif, and therefore it is muktza, you're not allowed to use it. And when we say that you could be masik both bekelim and b'shivrei kelim, that's assuming like Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of muktza, doesn't hold of nolad. Rabbi Shimon has a very, very limited view of what's asr mitam muktza, of what fits into a category of muktza, and the bracelet says that you could be masik both bekelim and b'shivrei kelim. I'm sorry, that you're not allowed to be masik rather with kelim nor with shivrei kelim. Assumes like Rabbi Nechemya. Rabbi Nechemya is the one that held that ain't kli nital ela l'tzorach tashmisha miyuchado, that a kli is only allowed to be moved when you're using it for the purpose that it is made for. So if you're going to take a kli, you're going to take a wooden spoon, and you're going to throw it in the fire. That's not what the wooden spoon was made for. The wooden spoon was made to be a spoon. So you're not allowed to move it in order to throw it into a fire, according to Rabbi Nechemya. You're only allowed to use it for what it was intended to be, what it was made to be used for. So that's why these three brisos, it's not a stira, three-way machlokas tanaim about the halachos of muktza. Amar Rav Nachman, Hani Livni Dishtayr Mi Binyanif. You have some bricks left over from a construction project. Shari L'Taltalinu, the Chazul L'Mizga Alayhu. They're not muktza, you're allowed to move them, because you could use them to sit on. Sharginu, once you pile them up in a way that makes it clear that you do plan on using them for a future construction project, then Vaday Aktsinu, then clearly you're making them muktza, you're designating them for construction. Construction is not something you could do on Shabbos, and you don't plan on using them as a seat, and therefore they become muktza again. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Cheres Kitana Mutal Taltal B'Chatzer Aval B'Karmel Islo. If you have a small piece of pottery, you're allowed to. It's not muktzah in a chatzer, but it is muktzah in a karmel. It's a very interesting concept. Then normally we think of muktzah, something either is muktzah or it's not muktzah. It either has some sort of use for Shabbos or it doesn't. We're saying sometimes it depends on where you are. Some items can be useful in certain locations and not useful in other locations. In New York right now, swimming goggles are probably not so useful right now, right? Depending on where you are, if you're in Florida, maybe it is a little more useful. So when you have a small piece of cheres, so if it's in a chatzer, so then it's going to be somewhat useful. So says Rashi, why? Because there are a lot of kelim lying around in the chatzer, and a little piece of pottery you could use to cover up a kli, so it's very useful to cover up any of the kelim that may be lying around. But in a karmelis, you're not allowed to be metaltal, because there aren't kelim lying around the karmelis, and therefore this small piece of cheres has no use in a karmelis. When it says, avul b'karmelis lo, you're not allowed to be metaltal in the karmelis, Rashi is quick to point out that this means that even less than dalet amos, to carry it more than dalet amos in a karmelis, anyway is going to be us. So that's a din of hotzah midrabanan. But we're not even talking about hotzah, we're talking about dine muktzah. So it's going to be a muktzah problem in the karmelis. Rav Nachman didei amar, afilu b'karmelis. Of Brishus Rabbanlo, and Rav Nachman himself says, no, even in a Carmelist, there's some use you can have for it in a Carmelist, because just not in a Brishus Rabbin, meaning that in a Carmelist there are things that you can use to cover there are things that you could use a piece of cheres to cover. Maybe not kalim, because there aren't kalim lying around in a Carmelist. But Rashi says there are a lot of people that walk through a Carmelist, and sometimes they spit on the ground, and you want to cover the roke, you want to cover the saliva, so you could use the cheres for that. But in Rosh Hashanah, people don't walk in Rosh Hashanah, so in Rosh Hashanah, it's you're not going to find any use whatsoever for this cheres, and therefore it will be muktzah in Rosh Hashanah. For Rava Amar, a third cheat, Rava says, afilu b'Rosh Hashanah, that even in Rosh Hashanah, you're allowed to be metaltal, it's not muktzah. Why not? What are you going to do with it in Rosh Hashanah? Says Rashi, nothing. Kiven de b'chatzer klihu bi'al manami lo paka shem kli minei. It's not that you have any use for it in Rosh Hashanah, it's that we don't define muktzah based on the place that you are. If something has some sort of use in a chatzer, mail, it's not muktzah, and it doesn't change based on where it happens to be. It's not muktzah anywhere. That's Rava's shita. Va'aza Rava l'tamei, and this is Rava going l'shita so. The Rava have a ka'azil beritka de machuza. Rava was going through a very public area of machuza at vasim esanetina, and he had mud in his shoes. He got his shoes all dirty with mud. So asa shamei shakel chaspa v'kamachberle. So his shamish came and took a piece of a shard of pottery, and he started cleaning out Rava's shoes from with this shard of pottery. Apparently, assuming that the shard of pottery, even though it's a very public place, is not muktzah, even though typically there's nothing you can use the shard of pottery for in a public place. So Rama Bei Rabbanan Kala, the Rabbanan started to scream, what are you doing? It's muktzah. How can you let the shamish clean out your shoes with this? Amar lomus tayed lo gemiri migmar nami megamri. Rava says something that tends to ring true. He says not enough that people don't learn and they don't know what they're talking about, but they decide to teach their misinformation to everybody else. They decide to share everything that they don't know with everybody else. So here they don't know the halacha. The halacha is that it's fine, that it's not muksa, and not only it's not enough that they're wrong about the halacha, they have to scream at me. Ilu b'chatzer avayim milo havechazi l'chsui be'mana. If I was in a chatzer, would this piece of pottery not be ra'ui to cover a kli with, and therefore it's not muktzah? Hachanami chazi l'didi. So over here also, I'm allowed to use it, even though it's in Rosh Hashanah, because once it's not muktzah, this is Rava l'shitaso, that it does not depend on where you are. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, magufas chavis shenichtasa. Let's say you have the cover of a barrel, but the barrel is already broken. So you have a pot cover, but the pot's already broken, and each pot cover is made to fit that pot. So what's the muktzah status of the pot cover? It's in perfect condition. It's perfectly fine. The only problem is it's no longer useful to cover a pot because the pot that it was supposed to cover is broken. So mutl tatal b'Shabbos. It's not muktzah. You're allowed to be metaltal on Shabbos. Tani na miyachim, we have a brayse that says like this, magufa shenichtasa, hi ushvareha mutl tatal b'Shabbos. If you have a If you have a pot cover whose, again, shenichsa doesn't mean the cover is broken, it means that the barrel or the pot that it's supposed to cover is broken, so both it and the broken pieces of the pot itself are not muksa. You're allowed to be metaltal them on Shabbos. V'lo yisfos v'mena shever l'chassos ba'asakli v'lismach ba'kirei amita. But you should not be misaking the broken pieces by, you should not fix it by smoothing out the rough edges on Shabbos, because then it's going to be a violation, in order to make it usable again, because then it's going to be a violation of Makah B'Patish. So you should not smooth out the rough edges, and in order to support the posts of the bed, v'mzorka ba'ashba aser. But in either case, if you took this magufa, this cover of the barrel, of the broken barrel, and you threw it into the garbage, then it's going to be aser. Because once you threw it into the garbage, you're showing that it's no longer a kli to you, it's no longer something that you consider to be usable, and therefore it's going to be mukta. So maskaflar of papa lemeata, if that's the case, throwing something into the garbage takes away its status as a kli. Elmeata zarekle leglime hachinami daser. Let's say you take your shirt and you throw it into the garbage. So now it becomes mukta, it becomes aser. Everything that you throw into the garbage on Shabbos becomes aser. Elamir of papa, so Rav Papa says no. Imzarka mibod yom la ashpa asura. Now when does it become aser? If not, if you throw it into the garbage on Shabbos. If you threw it into the garbage mibod yom an erev Shabbos, then you were mevatel this cover from having Torah's kli, from being considered a kli, and that's how you designated it as muksa. So says Tosos, why doesn't the Gemara then ask elamayata zorik l'glima mibod yom? So if you throw your shirt in the garbage on Friday, so now your shirt becomes muksa. Why doesn't the Gemara ask that kasha? So the top Tosos hashlo parach elamayata zorik l'glima mibod yom dikiven de lohaya muchan mibod yom lekel l'dmuy l'glimi. That no, this is different, because since this was not muchan to be used mibod yom, because you threw this pot cover in the garbage, so you can't compare it to a shirt at all. But Tosfos doesn't explain why not. Why not say that if you threw a shirt into a garbage, it also wasn't muchan mibod yom? So the Achronim explained probably what Tosfos is referring to. Probably what Tosfos means over here is similar to what the Gemara says in Sukkah, when the Gemara talks about if you need to be mevatel. Let's say you have a sukkah that the schach is more than 20 amos off the ground, so that's possible, right? So what if you add a platform on the bottom of the sukkah that raises the floor of the sukkah? So you throw a lot of dirt and you pile up inches and inches of dirt to make a new higher floor on the sukkah, so then it's fine. Then the schach is within 20 amos from the ground, then it's going to be okay. What if it's not dirt, but you take fancy cushions and linens and you put that to raise the floor? So the Gemara says, no, that's not considered to be a raised floor. Even if you yourself were mevatel and you plan on leaving it there for forever, you plan on leaving it there for the entire yontif, it doesn't matter. Batla daito etzel das kaladam. Then the normal people aren't mevatel something like that. They wouldn't leave something like that there for such a long time. So the Achronim explained probably to us means something similar. That when you throw away a shirt on Erev Shabbos, it's batla daito etzel kaladam. If it's a perfectly viable beged, it's a beged that's perfectly usable, so we don't assume that it now becomes muksa because you threw it in the garbage. That's something that most people consider to be a perfectly usable item, but the dietary still does call out them. But when you're dealing with a cover of a broken pot, so then it's a reasonable thing to throw it away because it's no longer usable for what you really bought it for, to cover that particular pot that you bought it for. So that's why once you throw it away on Erev Shabbos, you already got rid of it before Shabbos, it's not muchan at all, and it's not at all comparable to the case of a piece of clothing, an article of clothing that one has thrown away before Shabbos. Okay, we're at the top line of Kuf Chav Hayam Aleph. Amar Baram Duri Amar Shmuel. Baram Duri says in the name of Shmuel, Karomis Shal Machzalus. Let's say you have broken off pieces, shredded pieces of a mat. So mutal taltal b'Shabbos, it's not mukta. You're allowed to be metaltal these pieces that were, as Rashi says, nifredu min machzalus yeshana, that have come off of an old mat. They're not mukta. My taima, why? What are you going to use them for? So I'm Rava Baramduri Asbarali. Rava says Baramduri explained to me machzalus gufal maichazi. He said, well, back up a second. Why is it that a mat itself is not mukta? What can you use a mat for in the first place? We use a mat to cover up dirt. If you have a dirt floor in your house and you don't want every time the kids run around, the dirt to come up in the air and to cause everyone to cough and to make everything dirty. So you cover the floor with a mat, and that keeps the dirt down. That's the point. It covers up dirt. So even when you have these small shredded pieces that come off of the mat, it still can be used to cover up dirty things, to cover even the not smaller things, because it's just pieces, but it can still be used for that same purpose that it was used for before. Which sounds like the Gemara is saying it needs to be used me'ein malachtan, that something that comes off of that a broken piece of a kli has to be used not just me'ein malacha, not just that it has some sort of use, but it has the same use that it used to have when it was part of a kli. But Tosfos points out machzelus gufa lemaychazia leravcha demilsa mefarishachi, that the Gemara is just doing this leravcha demilsa just to be extra clear and extra safe in terms of its explanation. It says that it could even be used that me'ein malachtan. But afalgav de lobayi me'ein malacha rishona kedam Rav Nachman Leel cheres katana mutzal tatal b'chatzim mishum dechazi l'chasei b'mana. But really the halacha is that it doesn't need to be me'ein malachtan. It doesn't need to be me'ein malacha rishona, that it could still be used for something that it used to be used for when it was part of the larger kli. The halacha is we don't really require that. The raya that we don't really require that is Rav Nachman said before, if you have a small piece of a shard of pottery, you're allowed to, it's not muksa in a chatzer. Why? Because you could use it to cover any small kelim you have around the chatzer. But we're talking about pieces of pottery that were from broken kelim themselves. They weren't made to, the original malacha was not to use to cover other kelim. So you don't really need main malachtan. But the Gemara is just l'rav chadimil, so the Gemara gives this example. Amar Rav Yezer, Amar Rav, so Rav Yezer says the name of Rav, Shirei Pruzomios, the broken off pieces of Pruzomios. Rashi says, Talisos, if you have shards of or shreds of a talis, so asul tatlum b'Shabbos, that's muksa. You're not allowed to move them on Shabbos because apparently they can't be used for anything. Apparently they're not able to be used to cover anything up. We're talking about little pieces that are less than 3x3. Less than 3x3 tfachim that therefore are not ra'i to be used, not for aniyim and not for ashirim. So if no one has any use for them, and they can't, as a beged, and they can't be used to cover anything up, so then mela, they're going to be muksa. What's the difference between broken pieces of a mat and broken pieces of a talis? Seems like it's the same thing. So the Ritva asks, "Hachazil chsuibu tenufya?" I don't understand. We just said the broken piece of a mat you could use to cover up dirt on the ground. So broken pieces of a talis you can't. So he says, "V'yesh shapirshu demarik shenikru talisos elu me'erev Shabbos." Now we're talking about that it was already ripped from erev Shabbos, and that makes it worse because you have already been maksa midaito if it was already ripped up on Erev Shabbos. But then he writes in the name of the Ravid that no, when we say Perzomios, and Rashi says that we're talking about Talisos, Talis has, the word Talis generally is used to describe not Stam a Beged, but Talis Shel Mitzvah. It's referring to a Beged of Dalit Kamfils that a person uses to put tzitzis on. So since we're talking about Talis Shel Mitzvah, and a person generally doesn't want to use a Talis Shel Mitzvah for a Tashmish Bazui, so he wouldn't use it for a Tashmish Maguna, he would throw it out, he would get rid of it when he's done, so then you would never use it to cover up dirt. But other begadim or machtsalos or mats where you have no hesitation to use it for a tashmish bazli, so then you would use it to cover up dirt, and that's why the talis shel mitzvah is considered to be muksa. Now is it aser to use talis shel mitzvah to cover up dirt or something like that? So the halacha is tashmishe mitzvah in general, whenever you have something that was used for the sake of a mitzvah, it needs to be treated with some level of dignity. It does not need to be treated with the ultimate level of dignity in that it does not require geniza, you don't have to bury it. Tashmishe kedusha required burial. Something that's a tefillin or a sefer Torah, mezuzahs, those require burial. Tashmishe mitzvah, something that was just used for a mitzvah, does not require burial, just requires that it be handled with some level of dignity. So when you throw away talis shel mitzvah, there's no halacha that it has to be that it has to be put into geniza. It just it should be thrown away separately in a separate bag in a more dignified manner. But that's the that's what Rav Shechter has in Eretz Tzvi. He explains that the difference between tashmishe mitzvah and tashmishe kedusha. How do you know what's called tashmishe? Tashmisha mitzvah, it's called Tashmisha Kedusha. Tefillin is also a mitzvah. So why is Tefillin Tashmisha Kedusha and Talis Tashmisha mitzvah? So he explains that anything that has Ksav Shel Torah associated with it. Tefillin is as actual writing of Pesukim in the Torah. Mezuzah, writing of Pesukim in the Torah. Sifrei Torah, obviously, writing of Pesukim in the Torah. That's Tashmisha Kedusha. That's what needs to be put into Shemus. Anything that has no Ksav Shel Torah is just used for a mitzvah. A lulav, a tzitzis. That would be called Tashmisha Mitzvah. And he explains, based on that, that's why there's a halacha that a Jewish mace has to be buried. But a non-Jewish mace doesn't have to be buried. The halacha is nizrak, and the halacha is that it does not require kvura. There's no mitzvah kvura on non-Jewish mace. So he says, why? What's the difference? Maybe it's because a Jewish mace is considered tashmisha kedusha, whereas a non-Jewish mace is considered to be tashmisha mitzvah. Meaning, we all do mitzvahs. Non-Jews also have to do mitzvahs. The shev mitzvahs bnei noach. So what? It's a numbers game. We have 613. They have 7, and that's what makes our bodies la'achar misa holier. He says, are we ever between a Kohen's body and a Levi's body, a woman and a man, in terms of a Kedusha, even though there are different numbers of mitzvahs? No, it's not a numbers game. It's that for Klal Yisrael, the Torah is Chakuk Aluach Libecha. So we're Tashmisha Kedusha. We are a receptacle that carries with us Torah our entire lives. Anything that has Ksav Shel Torah is Tashmisha Kedusha, needs to be buried. Anything that doesn't have Ksav Shel Torah, it just happens to be used for a mitzvah, that's Tashmisha Mitzvah, and therefore, La'achar Zman Mitzvah. And once it's no longer doing mitzvahs, because it's dead, it's no longer doing mitzvahs, so in Nizrak, and then it doesn't require Kvura. So that's the idea, perhaps, over here, that we're talking about Tashmisha Mitzvah, as opposed to Stam, an old mat that's just an old ratty mat that you can't really use for a mat anymore. More, but you would still use it to cover up some sort of dirt. Okay, Brisa. Tanu Rabbanan, about 7-8 lines into the page, Kuf Chaf Eim Ralf. Shivrei Tanu Yashan, Harein Kekola Kelim Anitolin B'chatzer, Divra Meir. If you have broken pieces of an old oven, so it's like all other Kelim that can be carried in a chatzer, that can be handled in a chatzer, and it's not considered to be mutza, that's the sheet of Rav Meir. Why dafka do we say in a chatzer? So Tosfos says, lav dafka in a chatzer. According to Rav Nachman, it's even in a karmelis, according to Rav, even in a Rosh Hasharabim. That once something, remember we had that sheet of Rav, that once something is not mukza in a chatzer, so we just learned before, a few minutes ago, so it's not mukza anywhere. That's why Rav was allowed to use the pieces of pottery to clean off his shoes, even in Rosh Hasharabim. So it's lav dafka in a chatzer, according to everybody. But anyway, that's Reb Meir's opinion, that if you have broken pieces of an oven, it's not considered to, of an old oven, it's not considered to be muktza. Reb Yudah Omer, Eini Tal. Reb Yudah says, yes, it is muktza. So what are they arguing about? Before we get to what they're arguing about, Hey, Reb Yosi, Mishrim Elazar ben Yaakov, Al Shuvay Tanu Yashin, Shani Talim B'Shabbos, Val Kisuyo, She'inu Tzarech Beis Yad. That Rabbi Yossi was made in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that if you have broken pieces of an old oven, it's not muktza. A covering does not require a handle in order for it not to be muktza. So b'maykamifli, what's this machlokas about? So the Gemara is going to have three suggestions of what they're arguing about. Why is it that one shita would hold broken pieces of an old oven is muktza, the other shita would hold that it's not muktza? So possibility number one, what they're arguing about is our Mishnah. Maybe they're arguing, if you have a broken piece of a kli, in order for it not to be muktza, does it still have to be usable for its old use, for what it was usable for when it was still a kli? Or is it good enough that it's usable for something? And this would be exactly Rabbi Yudah Rameir l'shitaso, because we're assuming over here the broken pieces of the oven are no longer usable as an oven, but they're usable for something. You'll be able to come up with some use for them. So is Rabbi Yudah Rameir l'shitaso, is that good enough? Right? Rabbi Meir, who says over here that it's not muktza, holds that main malacha is all you need. Rabbi Yudah holds that it is muktza, says no, you need main malachtan. It has to still be usable for what it used to be usable for. So maskefla Rava says, ihachi, if that's the case, why would they dafka have their machlokas about broken pieces of an oven? Let it be about broken pieces of anything. Any kli that's broken is no longer going to be usable as that kli, but still might have some other use. So why would it be dafka about shivrei tanur? So Ella Amarava Rava says a second possibility. Ella Amarava b'shivrei dahai tanur kamiflugi. They're arguing about the broken pieces of a particular kind of oven that we're about to describe. Ditnan, the Mishnah describes an oven as follows. Nasa al piyaboro al piyados. Let's say they set up an oven over a hole in the ground, over a bar, a door, some type of hole in the ground. V'nasan sham even, and they place an even, a stone, right by the bottom of the oven to support it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer im masak milamata v'unisak milamala tamei. That it's considered a kli, it's considered a usable kli, this oven, if you can light a fire in the bottom of that bar, and that will fire up the oven, that will heat up the oven in a proper way, then it's going to be tamei. The imlav tahar. But if lighting a fire in the bar won't do it, it won't get the oven hot, you're going to need to light a fire somewhere higher up, closer to where the oven actually is, then it's tahar, then it's not considered a viable kli. The chamarim hol v'husak mikal makom tamei. And the chum say, no, it doesn't matter, as long as it could be lit up at all, so then it's going to be tamei. So b'may kamiflagi, what are they arguing about? B'haikra, they're arguing about how to understand the following pasuk. The pasuk talks about what happens when an oven becomes tamei, meaning we're talking about an oven that has that's obviously mekabel tamei, that's considered a kli. So what happens when an oven becomes tamei? So the pasuk says yutatz, that if you have a kli cheres oven, an oven that's made out of pottery that becomes tamei, so yutatz, you have to destroy it, you have to break it in order for it to be in order for it to become tahar. So tanu v'kirayim yutatz. Tameim heim utameim yu lachem. That's the lashon of the pasuk. Pasuk is very explicit that it's tamei tameim yu lachem. So Rabbi Yehuda Savar mechusar netitza tamei shein mechusar netitza tahar. An oven that requires breaking, that needs to be that needs to be broken, is tamei. But if ein mechusar netitza, if that's not what it's lacking, then it's going to be tahar. Then it's not going to be considered a kli at all. Rabbanan savri tamei miulachem mikol makom, and the Rabbanan will say no, it's tamei regardless. Rabbanan nami yaksiv yutatz. What are the Rabbanan going to do with the word yutatz? Hahuli idach kisa. No, they use that for something else. The salkatay techamina kiven dechavri ba'ara kigufa da'ara dami. I might have thought that once you attach it to the ground, it becomes like the ground itself, and therefore not only is it meaning, therefore it makes it less of a kli, it becomes like the ground, and therefore can't become tamei. Kamash mlan. That's why it comes telling me that when it's attached to the ground, it still can become tamei. Vidach nami yaksiv tamei miu lachem. What's the other shita going to do with the fact that it says the tamei miu lachem, meaning the what tamei miu lachem seems to be much more inclusive, that it's going to be tamei regardless. So he could Rav Yudam Shmuel. That's assuming like Rav Yudam Shmuel. Dam Rav Yudam Shmuel machlokas behasik rishon. The whole machlokas over here, the Rabban Rav Yudah is the first time you light up the oven. Avol behasik sheni. But the second time you light it up, even if it's hanging off the neck of a camel, meaning it doesn't have to be in any reasonable spot, then it's still going to be tamei. So Amar Ula v'hesek rishon the Rabbanan afilu talu b'tzavar gamel, and the Rabbanan would hold that even on the first hesek, it doesn't matter where it is. So Maskar Ravashi. So again, so at the end of the day, what did we try to do? We tried to show that according to Rava, the machlokas that we had, that we started with over here, if you have broken pieces of an old oven, is it mukta, is it not mukta? We're not talking about any old oven. It's a machlokas about the broken pieces of an oven whose status as a kli is subject to a machlokas even while it's intact. We're talking about an oven that's built over a bar, and we're not sure if it's even considered a kli when it's functioning, when it's fully intact before it has been broken. So if an oven is put over the mouth of a hole in the ground, if it's not attached to the ground the very first time it's heated up, Rabbi Yehuda holds it never became a kli, and therefore it's not mekabel tumah. It was never a kli. It was never mekabel tumah to begin with. And therefore, when it breaks, it's certainly not a kli. It wasn't a kli when it was working. So it's not going to be a kli when it's broken either. And Reb Meir would hold that no, it became a kli when it was heated up. So it was a kli when it was working, and therefore when it breaks, it's still going to be a kli. Its broken pieces are not going to be muktzah. Its broken pieces are still going to be a kli. So essentially, if it's mekabel tumah when it's whole, so that tells me that it's a kli when it's whole. And therefore when it's broken, the broken pieces are not going to be muktzah, because the broken pieces are still considered to be like pieces of a kli. But if it was, if it's not mekabel tumah when it's whole, that means that it was not a kli when it was whole. And if it wasn't a kli when it was whole, so when it's broken, it's not a kli either, and it's therefore going to be muktzah. That's the machlokas about broken pieces of an oven.
So Maskar Ravashi, Ravashi asks them that, Iyachi had the mifugli b'shubri tanur, lifugli b'tanur gufa. But wait a second, why would you argue about broken pieces of the oven? If it's really subject to this type of machlokas, we're talking about this type of oven, and it's subject to this machlokas, why don't you just argue about the oven? Is this oven muktzah or not? If you hold that it's not a kli when it's whole, so then it's muktzah even when it's whole. Forget about when it's broken. So hasha tanur gufal Rabbi Yehuda lavi mana. If the tanur itself, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is not a kli, shvar of mibai. What, the broken pieces you would ever have a havamina are considered a kli? So why does that make any sense? Why would they argue only in the case of broken pieces? So that can't be the machlokas. In fact, the Re'im Hurwitz just points out, l'chara t'mua. He says, what in the world was Rava thinking? Meaning, why in the world would they argue about a broken oven if the machlokas is just as viable about the oven when it's intact? So he says, nearly the Rava mukila betanur sheisiku b'mechubar el shashvar nitlshu kodem sheyichtan. He says, it must be that Rav is going to say that we're talking about that you did light it up while it was attached, and it's just that the broken pieces came off before you were miyachte them for the oven. And since they require being designated for that purpose, it's considered like that the first hesek, which needs to be mechubar. So he says that Rav must make an ukimta over here to say that we're talking about broken pieces, not stam of the same oven that we would have this machlokas tanayim about. Okay, Elam Ravashi. So Ravashi says third possibility to understand this machlokas. Liolam kadamrin meyikara. Now let's go back to what we said originally. What did we say originally? That the really arguing about osin me'in malacha, the lo osin me'in malachtan. If it could still be used for its original, for a malacha, but it can't be used for its original malacha. But specifically, why did we have a problem with that before? Because we said, why would you argue about an oven? Why don't you argue about any other kli? So he says, no, we're talking about osa maisa tafka. We're talking about these tiles that are used to heat things up and to cook things that function like an oven in that they're used to cook things, but they really function entirely differently than an oven would. And Rameir was saying to Rabbi Yehuda, Lishi Tascha. He was saying, Lididi, Afilu Bosin Mein Melacha. Rameir was saying to Rabbi Yehuda, according to me, I don't think it needs to even be able to be functional as an oven. I don't think it needs to cook anything in order for it to still be considered a kli, in order for it not to be muksa. I just think it has to have some sort of usage. El Lididach. But according to you, that you think that it has to be, the usage that it has to be similar to how it used to be used. At least admit to me that these tiles that are used to cook things, that's considered close enough to its original usage. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda would say, lo dami. No, it's not at all similar. In a regular oven, the fire is lit from the inside. Over here by these tiles, the fire is lit from the outside of them. Over there it's vertical, over here it's horizontal, the way you would set it up. So these are completely different. It's a completely different way of cooking, and therefore that's not called me'in malachtan. So that's why they argue about this particular kli, because this isn't something that is used for an entirely different purpose, but it's still usable. It's used for a somewhat different purpose, but it's somewhat similar. It's somewhere in between, and therefore it brings the machlokas a little bit closer. Hey, Rav Yosi, Mishum Rav Lazar ben Yaakov, al shivrei tanur yashin shein talin b'shabbos, val kisui shein utzarach b'esyad. So we mentioned earlier on the daf, the Rabbi Yosef says the name of Rabbi Lozman Yaakov, broken pieces of an old oven are allowed to be moved on Shabbos, they're not muktzah, and the covering does not require a handle. Amar Ravina, Kaman Metalpalin Leidna Kisoi de Tanuri, de Masa Machasia, de Inlan Beis Achiza. Who do we assume like nowadays that we do move the covering of the ovens of Masa Machasia that don't have a handle? Meaning we obviously hold that these coverings, even though they don't have a handle, we obviously hold they're not muktzah. Who are we assuming like? So says the Gemara, very pashut. Come on, Rabbi Lozman Yaakov, we're assuming like Rabbi Lozman Yaakov. He's the one that told us that Al Kisuyo, Sheinu Tzarech, Beis Yad, that coverings do not require a handle, that they're still not going to be muktzah, even if they don't have a handle. Okay, new Mishnah. Ha'evin shebe kiruya. Let's say you have a stone that you, let's start with the kiruya, so you have a gourd or a melon. Now imagine if you take like a watermelon and you hollow it out, and then you use it as a bucket, you use it as a kli. The only thing is, a watermelon melon may not be a good example because it's good and heavy, but let's say you have a melon that whose shell is not so heavy, so you want to use it as a kli to let's say get to hold water, but you need it to be a little heavier. Certainly if you're going to dip it down into a bar and try to pull up water, you need it to be a little heavier, so you attach a stone into the bottom of the hollowed out piece of the melon in order to give it some weight, in order to hold it down. So that stone, a rock, generally is muktza. Rocks as a rule are muktza, but now the stone is an important part of this kli, of this hollowed out piece of a shell of a melon that you're using to hold liquids. So if you could fill up water into it and it's the oven's not going to fall out, so then you can use it, it's not a problem. But if the oven would fall out, then ain mimalin ba, then it's just like any other stone, it's going to be muktza and it's going to be a problem. So you're not allowed to use that kli at all. If you have a vine that's tied on to a kli, so again you're allowed to fill up the kli with it and it's no problem, even though the vine typically is muktzah on its own, but it's become part of a kli, it's become like the handle of this kli, and that's perfectly fine. Pekaka chalon, if you have a window shutter, Reb Lezer and Reb Zmanshu kasher v'tali poking bo v'imlav in poking bo. If the window shutter is tied onto the building and it's hanging off of the building in a way where it's hanging in midair, it's not resting on the ground, then you're allowed to use that shutter. You're allowed to close. And we're going to discuss in tomorrow's daf what this is all about, why, what the issue would be with shuttering a window on Shabbos. But if only if it's still, if it's attached to the building and it's hanging in a way that it's not resting all the way on the ground, you're allowed to use it. And the Chum say, no, either way you're allowed to use it. The Gemara, Rashi points out, the Gemara is going to explain what Bein Kach Bein Kach means. What do you mean, either way? Either way if it's hanging or not hanging, either way if it's attached, not attached, both. So we'll get to that. Okay, Tanan Asam, we have a Mishnah. Evan Shalpi Chavis Matal Ti Devino Fellas. The Mishnah later on in the Masechta Daf Kuf Mem Beis is going to say, what if you have a barrel that has wine in it? You want to access the wine on Shabbos. There's only one problem. There's a big rock right at the top of the barrel, and rocks are muktza. So what do you do? So if you have, how do you remove the rock? So Matal Ti to lean the barrel on its side, Vihino Fellas, and let the rock fall right off of the barrel, and that's fine. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shanu El B'Shochech. That's only if you forgot and you left the rock there accidentally before Shabbos. Avul B'Maniach. But if you purposely place the rock on the top of the barrel, Nasa Basas L'Davar Aser, then the barrel becomes a Basas L'Davar Aser, and the whole thing becomes Muksa. You're not allowed to move the barrel, you're not allowed to, the rock is Muksa, the barrel is Muksa, everything becomes Muksa, it's not allowed to be moved at all. That is the Shita of Rabba, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that the whole thing becomes Muksa if you place it there on purpose. Remember, we already learned about Basas L'Davar Aser, that something only becomes a Basas L'Davar Aser when it was placed there purposely. If something was forgotten somewhere, it does not become a Basas L'Davar Aser. So if you forgot your cell phone on your bed, you didn't put it there on purpose, so the covers of your bed do not become a basas l'davar aser because you forgot it there, you didn't put it there on purpose. Rav Yosef Amar Abasi Amar Rav Yochanan lo shanu el b'shocheach. And Rav Yosef Amar Abasi Amar Rav Yochanan says, so again, before it was Rabba and Rabbi Ami Amar Rav Yochanan, now it's Rav Yosef Rabasi Amar Rav Yochanan, that no, it's only when do you lean it on the side? When you forgot it there. Avu b'maniach nasa. If you placed it there on purpose, not only is it not a bigger problem of muktzah, it's not a problem of muktzah at all. Then the rock itself isn't even muktzah, because then it's just a covering for the barrel. So the opposite, they both hold that when the Mishnah says you have to lean the barrel over on its side, it's only if you forgot it there. But the question is, when you put it there on purpose, the first shita says that makes it much, much worse, because then the whole barrel becomes muktzah, becomes basal over aser. Second shita says, no, that makes it much, much better. If you put it there on purpose, that means that it's a kli. It's now being used as a covering for the barrel, and therefore even the rock isn't muktza. So Amar Rabba Musfin Rishmait, and Rabba says, I got a problem with my own shita based on our Mishnah. I held that it becomes a basas davar aser, but look at our Mishnah. Heaven should be keruya mimalimba veinu nofelas mimalimba. If you have this stone in the hollowed out shell of the of the melon, you're allowed to use it. I hold the whole thing should become basal davar aser. So velohi, but it's not really a kasha on me. Hasam kiven da hadka shav yadofen. Over there, once you've attached the stone to the shell, so now it's become part of the wall of the shell. So it's become part of the kli. Over here, it's not attached, it's just resting on the top of the barrel. That's why it makes the whole thing a basal davar aser. Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, I have a problem with my shita from the Mishnah also. I held that when you leave the stone on top of the barrel, that the stone becomes, and you put it there on purpose, that the stone becomes a covering for the barrel, and it's not muktzah at all. But what does it say in our Mishnah? Imla vein memalimba. That if the stone could sometimes fall out, then you're not allowed to use it, then it's muktzah. So isn't that against my shita? Says Velohi, it's not really kash on me. Hasam kivin de lohatka betule batla. Over there, since it's not attached, so you're being mevatel it as a kli, so it's not really a viable kli. Over here, it is being used as a viable kli. So b'maika mifli, what's the nekudas hamachlokas over here? What are they really arguing about? So marsav rabinun maisa, umarsav lo binun maisa. If you want to take something that's muktzah and make it no longer muktzah, like a rock, and you want to designate this rock as non-muktzah, do you have to do something to it? Or is it good enough to just have in mind that you want to use it? So the shita that says that you have to do something to it will say, good, now the whole thing, you didn't do anything, you just left it there, so now the whole barrel becomes basal davar aser. The rock is muktzah, the barrel is muktzah. But if you don't have to do anything, it's just machshava alone is good enough, so then the rock is no longer muktzah, because you are now using it as a cover for a kli, even though you haven't actually done anything with it. Vazul tamayu, and these amarayim are going l'shita sam. Dechiyas ravdimi amar b'chanina, v'amri la amar b'zeira amar b'chanina, pamach achas halach Rebbe l'makom echad, umatza nadvach shalavanim. One time Rebbe went to a certain place, and he found a big pile of stones. V'amri la talmidav, and he told his talmidim, tzu'u v'chishvu! He wanted to be able to use those rocks tomorrow as seats when he was going to give his shir. So he said, how do you take rocks and make them not muktzah? He said, I want you to go and think about that you want to use these rocks tomorrow. And then we'll be able to use them. V'lo etzrich on Rebbe l'maisa. But Rebbe never required them to do anything with the rocks. All they had to do is have machshava. Rabbi Yochanan amar, hitzrich on Rebbe l'maisa. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Rebbe did require them to do a maisa. So this is exactly l'shitasam, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina. So my amar lehu, what kind of maisa did he tell them to do? When Rebbe saw all these rocks, what kind of maisa would you do on rocks to make them usable for seating for Shabbos? So Rabbi Ami Amar, Tzu'uvalimdum Amar Lehu. He told them to arrange them, to line them up. Tzu'uvalimdum, that's all he told them to do. Just put them in an order where you're setting them up, like a classroom. Rabbi Asi Amar, Tzu'uvashivshifum Amar Lehu. No, it's not good enough to move them and to set them up. He had to do a maisa on the rocks themselves. He had to scrape them down from any edges, any sharp edges they might have that might make them less comfortable to sit on. You have to actually do something to the rock itself. But either way, whether you hold a minor maisa or a major maisa, but apparently this version of Rebbe says that Rebbe required a maisa in order to change it from being muktzah to not being muktzah. Because otherwise, rocks are typically muktzah. Zilberstein has a chashuk echemet, an unusual thing, quotes from various midrashim and commentaries on midrashim that the avanim of Har Sinai were unique in that when you open them up, if you were to crack open an oven of Har Sinai, there's an image of a sneh on each side of the oven, and if you were to crack it further, you'd see another image of a sneh. No matter how many times you break it open, there's an image of a sneh in the stones of Har Sinai, the midrashim say. So he says maybe such rocks wouldn't be muktzah because it's designated to be used to see the neflos habore, to see how amazing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation is. But he says that's why it's called Sinai. Har Sinai is the har of made with rocks that have all these images of a sneh. Okay, Idma Rabbi Yosef ben Shalom Rasaver Shel Kurosava. He says that it wasn't rock. We got the story wrong. That it wasn't about rocks. It was about beams that were lined up. A stack of beams that were there. Rabbi Yochanan ben Shalom or Gosher Shal Svina Hava. It was a pole that they would use by a boat when you're going in the ocean. They would stick a pole in case they would get near shallow waters and they were afraid the boat would get stuck. To measure how deep the water is, they would stick a pole down. So Man Yamar Goshosh, if the one who says that it was a pole, Kolshkin Savar, would for sure hold that a Savar would be okay. The opinion that Rebbe permitted a stack of beams with minimal preparation would hold that he would not not have said the same thing about the pole used to measure the depth of the ocean, because that's Muktzah Machmas Chesron Kis. The owner would never use it for other purposes, because he would be afraid that he would bend the pole or ruin the pole in one way or another. So he would never use it for anything like that. Do we have a minute? One more minute? Yeah, one more minute. Okay. Zmurashi Kshur, if you have a vine that's tied on to a kli. Kshur in lo kshur lo. Sounds like only if it's tied on, not if it's not tied on. Then it's going to be usable as part of the kli, and it's not going to be muktzah. So leim masnisin lo k'rab shum gum liel. So that seems like it's against Rab Shum gum liel. D'tanya chari yoshal dekes shal dekel. If you have pieces of palm branch, shagidron le'etzim, v'nim l'chalei in the yeshiva, that originally you cut them off to use for firewood, and then you decide to change to use them for seeding, you need to tie them down in order to make them kli. They don't actually need to be tied on. Once you have in mind that that's what you want to use it for, that's good enough. No, we could even be going like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, who says, "Ain tzarich likshar, but in our Mishnah, you do need to tie it on." We're talking about where it's still attached to the Geffen itself. So that's why you would need to tie it onto the kli if you want to make it part of the kli. What do you mean? If it's still attached to the geffen itself, then it's mechuber lekarka, and it's muktzah. You're not allowed to use things that are mechuber lekarka. So the matami gimel, it's within three tefachim of the ground where you are allowed to use mechuber lekarka. A tree within three tefachim of the ground, you are allowed to be mishtamish. Ravashi amar afilu tema betlusha gzera shem yiktam. No, we could even be talking about something that's detached from the ground, but we're afraid that you're gonna cut it off, and that's why it's you need to dafka tie it on in our Mishnah. Okay.